The following presentation was recorded at the 2008 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Greetings in Jesus' name. I think I feel a little bit like Gerald did yesterday, kind of at the tail end of things. You've heard a lot, and I'm not sure that I have anything new to share. I'm sure I don't. Feels like over and over I heard speakers talking, and that's what I was going to say. In a word or two, I would like to know how you're feeling after a day and a half like this, hearing lots of ideas. How do you feel? I know this is not a workshop, but I would like just a little bit of interaction.
Enthused.
Enthused? It's positive?
Inspired.
Again?
Pumped up.
Good. Is that what you said, right? Yes. Good. I like that. What else?
Inspired.
Inspired? Another good word.
Encouraged.
Encouraged? Good. Let's have some more honest answers. Oh, that was looking for that one. Overwhelmed. Up to the neck. Okay. Those other answers were honest. No insinuation against you whatsoever. Challenged. Okay. If you were to take everything that you heard this weekend, or this week, everything, and implement it, what would your school look like in the next month? What would you look like? See, I think that's one of the problems we have is, at least I have, and I've been to so many school meetings, of course, by now, and I go away with that tension between inspired and go for it. There's so much I want to implement. I want to get done. I want to get this vision. I want it to happen. But then I look at the array of things that was given, and I'm not sure what to do with it. And a year later, I go to the next meeting, and I wonder, now, did I do anything? Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I wonder how many of you can say, yes, I took something from last year's meeting in Antrim, Ohio, and I got it done. I implemented it. It actually happened. Now, if I would look at your notebook and the handouts, you have quite a list of things that you could possibly do, right? Especially as principals, administrators, and also as board members. A list. And I keep thinking when I hear this, I keep thinking, oh, I'll do that. Oh, I'll do that. And right in my mind's kind of reeling, you know, oh, I would ever pull that off at our school. And this one and this one. But the temptation is to go home. I'm busy already, aren't you? Close my book. It's good enough. And don't do anything. Don't do anything. So I want to challenge you, and we're going to spend some time, of course, thinking about this. How can we take some slow steps to actually getting change to affect a positive change? So I think the good news is that we all feel this overwhelmed feeling. The bad news is that it doesn't get better year after year. I think no matter how much you implement, you're going to continue to hear ideas, and it makes you feel a little inferior. Yeah, it makes you feel a little inferior, right? It does me. I think of all these good ideas from other teachers, and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Well, why didn't I do that? But you know, that's a great thing of being together, is we get ideas from other people. And let's not feel threatened by each other's schools, each other's programs, but let's learn from them and be encouraged and pumped up by what we are hearing that other people are doing. And remember that nobody is doing everything. You know, sometimes if we would go into the schoolrooms of some of the speakers and board members, we would find out that they're not doing everything after all. And it just kind of feels that way. It looks that way because there's nobody to say what I just did. All right, well, what is a vision? I think of a vision as a mental goal. It's something out there that I'm kind of dreaming of, I'm thinking of. It's something I want to do. I can maybe get a mental picture of it. I can kind of see it. This is something I want to get done. And right away, we start to aspire for getting this thing done, and we've got to take some steps to actually make it happen. Remember, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And I think that's where we want to wrap this up with that encouragement of, let's take one step. So while I speak, maybe you want to write down one or two things that you are going to get done. You're going to get done. And maybe get it started in some way or form. Write out the vision. Write out maybe some steps you could do. could take to get this done in the next 24 hours. Because you know what? You don't get done in the next day or two after this, or at least start to think about, probably will never get done. So while we are pumped up and encouraged, is the moment to capture that energy, that passion, that vision, before we look at the big list of things to do when we get home, and at least say, I'm committed to doing something. So I want to encourage you to do that, and I need to do that myself. I need to take an idea or two and say, I'm going to work through this one, because we cannot do them all. We can't even get close to doing all the good things that we heard about. But our schools need to grow carefully and slowly. We tend to feel like if I can't jump, catapult into this all new school and setting, we just will never get there. But if we can implement one thing at a time, carefully, slowly, and do it well, and then build on that, we slowly are building a school and slowly are building a program. I would like to use Nehemiah as an example of a man with vision, passion, and a man who did implement, defined and implemented a vision. So I'm going to just, we know the story, I'm certainly not going to read all these chapters, but I would like to just pick out a few verses here and there and kind of ride with the story and try to pull out some lessons for what we can do in our schools. Nehemiah chapter 1, I like to read verse 4, 5, and 6. And it came to pass when I heard these words, the story of the problem in Jerusalem and the walls being broken down and the demise of the community and culture. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Aren't there times that we weep? And we feel like we should weep over what is. We're discouraged, we're disappointed, we're frustrated. How can this be? How can we be in this situation? How can it be so disappointing? How can this have turned out? It's not what I hoped or wished. I think that's okay. We can respond in anger or blame or frustration, or we can respond with a resolve, as we, of course, see him doing. Also, I'm impressed with the fact that he says, this is our problem. This is our problem. Why was this his problem? I mean, look at what he says at the end of verse 6. Both I and my father's house have sinned. This is our problem. Okay, so we tend to, when we see something that needs to change, some of us like to change it, right? We're ready to go. Let's go for the gold. Let's change this thing. Some of us maybe are quicker to say, well, that's not my problem. I'm not to blame for it. I didn't create the problem, so why should I fix it? It's like somebody's has on the wall of their business that says, your lack of planning does not create a crisis on my part. You created the problem. Don't create a crisis that I need to come and fix or do something about this problem. But there is a certain amount of responsibility that does need to be taken by board members, patrons, and the community when there is a problem. We need to see it as our problem, and then we, together, need to try to fix it. I know there are fields of responsibility, and I'm not suggesting that every individual here could fix every particular problem in your community. There are fields of responsibilities, and that does need to obviously be defined. But there are ways, possibly, that we can still contribute to solving a problem or implementing a vision, even though that does not fall particularly or exclusively in our camp. Chapter 2, verse 5. One verse, the king obviously saw his countenance and questioned him about this, which brought fear. He prayed to God in verse 4. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and here's his response. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Little saying I came across, I always wonder why somebody didn't do something about it. Then I remembered that I was somebody. I suppose that could be taken in an arrogant way. But we all tend to run from responsibility, don't we? We don't want to do it. We're busy already. Why me? This other person could do it better. Let's remember that each of us can contribute to this vision and help to get it done. Back to some things I mentioned about taking one or two things. It is important that somehow we try to shape a sustainable vision, a sustainable project. We tend to do things in spurts, don't we? You know, we get all excited about something and let's go. Maybe evangelism in your church. You know, here we go. Let's do it. And for the first week or 2 weeks, you know, and then it just slowly dies out. I talked to a few farmers recently and asked them, all the three farmers, the same question, and they all had the same answers. I said, and nothing against these people whatsoever, please understand. I said, have you ever tried milking three times a day? All three of them, rather sheepishly, said, yes, we tried it. Of course, you know what I asked next. Are you still milking three times a day? And all three of them said, no, we're not. We're not. Now, nothing wrong with milking three times a day, or having tried it and stopped. But it was just a reminder how we tend to get excited about something. We do it, we maybe don't count the cost, and we just wear out. As boards, as you try to encourage your administrators and teachers to get something going, to do something, be careful that you don't go back full of energy and you dump this responsibility on them to implement and get done. They're kind of stuck with the project. They're the ones that need to generate the time and energy to make this all happen. We need to walk with them and encourage it to happen and make sure that they have the resources and even abilities to do what your vision is. Let's not take our vision and kind of place it on another person and then, you know, kind of make them feel guilty if they do not manage to do that. Maybe another example in your schools, more directly in schools, would be a library committees. I'm curious, I guess I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I wonder how many of you have a library committee in your school. And I wonder how it's working. You know, we kind of get this excited, we got to get more books in the school, we got to do something. And so we do something about it, and we get a committee, and they get together, and they get a bunch of books, and 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, a month later, 6 months later, hey, do we have a library committee? And oh yes, you know, we did, but we never got it done. A sustainable vision. So that's why we need to just take one or two things that is manageable and we can do with the limited resources and time and energy that all of us have so that we can actually get something done and feel like we are making progress. Remember, slow, steady progress is what we want in our schools, and not paint some picture of what we wish our school could be and just wish we could just suddenly become that, because it simply does not happen. I'd like to go to chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Now this might sound a little bit individualistic the way he went about this, but each person needs to do a certain amount of this, and especially as school boards. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. I'd like to get that. And viewed. He viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed, again, the word viewed, and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. Somehow we must evaluate and analyze the need. Somehow, as he rode, I can imagine he was just picturing what this wall would look like one day. What would this look like? All put back together, it was broken down. It was a tremendous task. Tremendous. If you look at chapter 3 and all the work that went into fixing this wall. Now that's a discouraging part of being at a place like this, right? It just looks so much. There's just so many things that ought to change. I feel that way about our school. There's just so many things I should do and could do. And I hope people don't know we're not doing them. We just, and so we can tend to even run from the call to improve. You know, well, I'm just... Do you find that tension in yourself? You kind of run from the call. I remember being with some people one time when we were talking about personal growth and things. And I just felt like walking out. I just felt like leaving. Just forget it. It's just too hard. It's too much discipline. Let's expose ourselves to good ideas as we have and not become overwhelmed with what we haven't been able to do. Take the slow steps, but and have the courage to envision what ultimately we want to get done. He viewed the walls. View your school. View the classrooms. Go there. He went there, right? It's the only way the board can really feel for what's going on in the school. If you view it, if you go there, you see what is happening, you say, ah, this is what it should be, though. Here is something that we could become. That is not knocking what is necessarily, or if it is, must be done carefully, lest more damage is ultimately done than good. I think, again, that's something that board members must be sensitive to. Remember, when you introduce change, the teachers take it right away as implying that what is presently is not good enough. Remember that. Remember that. So while we teachers are hard to please, you know, we want the school board involved. We want the school board to be helping us and encouraging us and have a vision for the school. But then when the board does, sometimes teachers stand and say, well, so we're not doing a good enough job. Well, boards must be careful that they come in a way that accepts what is there, provided it's not actually something that is wrong, as we maybe talked about at the beginning when we mourn what is not. But we build on what is there and we encourage what is there and show confidence that we can grow this thing, we can improve this thing. Then the teachers, I think, are ready to listen. How can you view the wall? How can you view what it should be? And why is that important? You know, if he would have went walking out there in his beast and got off and picked up something and said, what can I do with this? And here's a tool. What could I do with it? Oh, I could put it here. He puts it there. He picks up something else and says, well, what could we do with this? And then, oh, well, we could do this with it. And it reminds me of my 2-year-old son. He doesn't have a job that he wants to get done. He finds a tool and then decides what he can do with the tool. Okay, and it doesn't really go so well. Because he goes out in the shop and he finds a hammer. A hammer. What can I do with a hammer? And then he looks for things that he can use the hammer with. Or he might get a screwdriver. And then he looks for a place where he can put a screwdriver in. You know, receptacles, wherever. But don't we do that in our schools sometimes? Rather than viewing what we want and define the vision, we rather, and a lot of this has been talked about already, we hire the teacher. We're after the tools. And then we have the teacher and we say, now what can this teacher do? What can this teacher do? And the teacher ultimately shapes the school, or the administration shapes the school. They shape the culture. While they are part of it, they should not be shaping it. The teacher should not shape the culture of the school. They are part of it. They are inseparable from the culture. But the vision must come from the board as to shaping the culture of the school and what we want. So if the teacher doesn't want or teacher doesn't enjoy music very much, you know what? The school just doesn't sing. They just don't sing. I hear some pretty terrible stories sometimes from school or from people who are out of school and say, you know what? My teacher didn't like English. And the truth is, we hardly had English that 1 year. What? Well, that was the tool that the board hired. The tool supposedly couldn't do it, and so it just didn't get done. That should not happen. The board defines what needs to get done. They are the ones that need to craft the vision of what they want the school to look like, and then hire people accordingly. Do you do that in your businesses, anyhow, men? Do you? You do. You profile what it takes for this person, what it takes, what kind of person it takes to fulfill this job, right? You don't ask people into management who are obviously not managers. You don't ask somebody who is obviously not a salesman to be a salesman just because, well, you know, I was desperately trying to find somebody. And so, you know, my sister one time got a call to teach school many, many years ago. And I think they told her this was maybe the 60th teacher they had called. You know, they're just grasping for a tool, aren't they? Needless to say, it was probably in July or August. But I'm not sure about that. Now, I am not saying that we profile to the point where, you know, we can get to the point maybe where nobody can do the job quite right. He just doesn't have the personality and the gifts and abilities and the music and. And you know what? After all, nobody. But as was talked about before, we need to train our teachers where they need training in specific things or supplement them with help. Schools do that. Maybe the teacher does not know music, and so they bring somebody in to teach music rather than just say, well, that's one thing we just won't get done. Okay? But let's make sure that our tools are not shaping the job, but that we start with a job and then we choose appropriate tools and we train those tools and we supplement those tools. I don't know what you boards have done, but it would be a very interesting thing, board chairmen, to have your board members just write down what are their goals. What is the vision in maybe 4 or 5 or 6 fields? Somehow, or maybe you could start with this. Take an 8th grader when they leave your school, or 10th or 12th, whatever your school culture or setting is, and say, what are the skills and abilities we want this person to have? What leadership skills? What character? I wonder what they'd say. Each board member, you write the model student walking out of our school. What does it look like? And then try to figure out what are you doing to get it done? That's a challenge for any teacher or board member, any pastor. Tell me three things that are your highest goals for your church or for your community or for your school. Maybe some of us can't even do that, much less tell me something you're doing to get it done. Right? One thing, one project that you're doing to get that vision done. Now, your board does need to be reasonably united in what this vision really is. And so that when you go back and you are ready to get this implemented, you're ready to get step one done now. Two, that you have a team that you are working with. There's a saying that if your company mission is to climb a tree, which would you rather do, hire a squirrel or train a horse? Now that is stretching that a little bit, but it does come back to the point of we must decide what school is all about and what we want, and then we set out to find people to do the job. Let's go to verse 18 of chapter 2, moving on with bringing others along with us. Probably in most of you, your whole school board is not here. You're going to need to go back and present this one or two ideas that you have gotten this week, and you're going to have to sell it. Well, apparently Nehemiah was able to do that. Verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Well, that sounded easy, didn't it? It sounded like he just presented what they wanted to do, and the people said, yeah, good idea. Let's rise and build. Let's go ahead and do it. You're going to need to go back and tell your people and convince them why, what you would like to see changed, what improvement you would like to make, why it is important, so that they say, let us rise and build. And you also need to work within your culture. I think we've got to be very careful with this, and I guess I probably capitulate a little bit, so I'm not always sure how to see this. You know, administrators may not see themselves as the one to revive the community. Boards may not see themselves as people. Here is my opportunity. Did you feel that way when you got on the school board? Whoa, here is my chance. Boy, will I ever fix this problem. And we kind of move in with a vision. We're going to get this one done. Here is something that's going to change. My children never learned this or that. And I'll tell you what, it's time they change. And now I'm in a position to affect change. We need to be very gracious and very careful and realize that we are here to bless the community and to build the team and to grow it, but not single-handedly and not in a way that we would ever manipulate a group of people so that they do what we think should be done. It must be as a team. It must be as a team. I'd like to suggest if you can't do it as a team, either you're trying to produce something that shouldn't be produced, or trying to do something that shouldn't be produced, or else it's just not the right time. Maybe it's a good thing, but not the right time. Because more damage can be done by a person single-handedly pushing an issue and trying to get it done, and everyone else is sitting back saying, yeah, but that's just not for us. It's not for us. You've probably been exposed. I know that at least for some of us, we've been exposed to some options, whether it's financing, fundraising, or whatever. I don't know what all has been talked about. Or PTF meetings that you know if you would take it back to your community, they would not appreciate it. It does not fit your culture. We can make a mistake of scoffing our cultures and saying, come on, let's go for it. You know, this is what other schools are doing and it's a success. Or we can say, you know what? This maybe is not what our culture is ready for. And maybe there will be some slow awareness and slow change, but let's respect that or we can ruin our effectiveness. Short story here I want to read. A man was lost while driving through the country. As he tried to reach for the map, he accidentally drove off the road into a ditch. Though he wasn't injured, his car was stuck deep in the mud. So the man walked to a nearby farm to ask for help. Warwick can get you out of the ditch, said the farmer, pointing to an old mule standing in a field. The man looked at the decrepit old mule and looked at the farmer who just stood there, repeating, yep, old Warwick can do the job. The man figured he had nothing to lose. The two men and the mule made their way back to the ditch. The farmer hitched the mule to the car. With a snap of the reins, he shouted, pull, Fred! Pull, Jack! Pull, Ted! Pull, Warwick! And the mule pulled that car right out of the ditch. The man was amazed, he thanked the farmer, patted the mule, and asked, Why did you call out all those names before you called Warwick? The farmer grinned and said, old Warwick is just about blind. As long as he believes he's part of a team, he doesn't mind pulling. Now, I know we're a little more intuitive. We're not that blind. But the point, obviously, is that if you believe you're part of a team and you can convince your board members that they're part of a team, this is not for your glory. This is not something that you have crafted and you want to get the credit. But as a team, here's something maybe we can think about. The chances of getting it done are a lot greater. And if it is rejected, to not take that personal and put it on the back burner and maybe can come up and do not be working behind people's backs to try to get this done. It can be very tempting to do on a board level or a faculty level. Something didn't fly and we're hurt. We're maybe a little irritated. We can respond, okay, I'll be quiet and my ideas will never be looked at again. I didn't feel good. People do make mistakes and maybe say something sarcastic about an idea. Another lesson that we need to all learn. But it'd be a mistake to then go behind people's backs and try to manipulate that thing and tell people what a good idea this would be. And can't the board realize it? In the next board meeting, come on, I'm bringing it up again. And, you know, you calculate that we're going to push this thing through. We're working as a team. And sometimes what we get done as a team is not as much as what we think we could have gotten done individually. But it's still better. I really think it is. What gets done as a team is still better than what is going to get done individually. Our schools tend to look for a man. And I think that's troublesome. Our schools tend to look for a man. And there's been a lot said this weekend, and I appreciate it a lot. The emphasis that the vision belongs to the board. But we tend to look for a man because most of you probably are business owners or in positions of responsibility and are busy. And the school can be almost a troubling thing you got called to be involved in. And I'm not at all trying to sound negative to school board members at all. I appreciate immensely my school board and the effort they put into making our school an enjoyable place to serve. But we can be nagged at that responsibility. And you know, if we could just find the right man to shape the school and turn it over to him, my school board responsibilities would basically be once a month meeting and talking about the finances and whether we need another building, etc. So while I said before, we would maybe rather hire a squirrel than train a horse, on the other side, remember that let's not look for a man as an easy way out. And if we can just find the right man, let him shape the whole school. And you know what happens? When that man leaves and another man comes, we got problems on our hands. Because nobody knows anymore how the school worked and why it worked the way it did. If they're pleased or not pleased, and hopefully we're pleased. They don't understand the dynamics of what made the school what it was because it was shaped around a person and his vision of the school. So we must work together with the administration of what is making our school what it is, must become part of the school board so that when that man leaves, the board is there to say, here's what we want, here's what we have, here is how it was achieved, and this is what we need to do to sustain what we have and continue to grow it. But do not be satisfied to allow an administrator, a principal, or a head teacher to shape your school almost unchecked. As long as it's good news, you know, it's all right. Or no news is good news. And then we really don't know what to do when that person moves on, especially if he's there for a fairly long time. Also, we must deal with resistance. And this comes from a few places. Chapter 2, verse 10. Sanballat, the Horite, and Tobiah, the servant, you know what they said. In fact, they said some very degrading things. At one point, they said, if a fox would walk up your wall, it would even fall over. You ever feel like anybody told you that? Well, that's a fragile idea. I mean, what are you trying to prove? You know, we're very sensitive to feeling that we're being scoffed, our ideas are being laughed at. But he knew what he was doing was right. And so that external pressure which came from outside the group, he was able to just keep going and said, you know what? He said, what we are doing is of God and you have no part in it. Now, unfortunately, he also faced some pressure from within. Chapter 3, verse 5, it says, and next unto him, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Now, I don't know what all Nehemiah did about that, but he seemed to be able to brush that off and continue on. And I am sure, unless you have an exceptional school board, there are going to be people on the school board who feel like they're really not contributors. They really are not contributors. When we need somebody to do something, they're not really, they're often just not there. And do not be discouraged with that. Do not be, while there's certainly a frustrating dimension to that, do not allow that to wreck your plans or to sidetrack you. One last note that I think is so important in school vision and implementing that, and that is to somehow break it down to a manageable project, bite-size, we might say, projects. Implement through delegation. I think of delegating as doing two things. It's defining and dividing the work. Define and divide. I think at the end of school board meeting, you should be able to say, now here's some things we wanted to get done. Maybe we need a subcommittee. Maybe we just need to appoint a person. So we divide it and we define it so that the people leave knowing what they are to get done and then accountability. You know, if you don't put a deadline to when this information is supposed to come back to you, it probably won't happen. If you just say, well, why don't you go out there and get a few ideas, what we could do as far as renovation, or what it would cost to make this change, or why don't you get some ideas about what we could do about whatever the issue is. Unless you put some accountability to it, it probably will not happen. Divide and define. Get it small enough that the person's not overwhelmed. Would you be willing to do this one thing? Check this thing out. This is exactly what we want, and here's when we want to bring that back. So that the energy, while that is being done individually, the energy that that person is putting into that ultimately comes back to bless the board. They go out, they do their thing, but it comes back as a whole to encourage the group. There's one last saying that I want to read as far as teamwork, because we need to go back truly as teams. Teamwork is the ability to work together toward a common vision, the ability to direct individual accomplishment toward organizational objectives. It is a fuel that allows common people to obtain uncommon results. And God bless you as you go back. Choose a few things to implement and get them done. And next year, come back for a few more ideas. God bless you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.